It's the Larry Kudlow Show. Free market prosperity starts here. Now, here's Larry Kudlow.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. This is the Larry Kudlow Show. By the way, you can hear us on the internet. You can live stream us on the internet. LarryKudlowShow.com. LarryKudlowShow.com. Plays all across the country, around the world, throughout the solar system. And lately, we're picking it up in the Milky Way. A lot of people hearing it in the Milky Way. And if you know where the Milky Way is, just let me know. During the week, Fox Business, name of the show is Kudlow, 4 to 5 p.m. every day, Monday through Friday. Can't get it at 4. And just DVR your favorite. No, just text your favorite 9-year-old. That's right. Got to get that right. Text your favorite 9-year-old, and she will show you how to DVR the show. And you will see Joe Concha live and in color constantly. He's a regular. He's also a Fox News contributor. And his book, which I will read one more time because I love the title, Come On, Man, The Truth About Biden's No Good, Horrible, Very Bad Presidency. How about that? And we are joined today by Chris Bedford, who's now writing for The Blaze, senior politics editor, D.C. correspondent for The Blaze. You'll also see him at The Federalist and The New York Post. All right, he dropped. We'll get Chris Bedford back. Joe, welcome back. I'm just poking around the websites and stuff. CNN poll. More Americans find the Trump trials to be irrelevant to their votes for the presidential race. Not turning out the way Joe Biden, I think, wanted it to turn out. But it's interesting, particularly with the Bragg trial every day now, and Trump has to be there, getting a lot of attention, and also, I guess, the Supreme Court thing on immunity. But is it interesting? I mean, you think, I don't know what other polls are saying, but this poll says basically people don't care.
They don't care because they're dealing with choosing between heating and eating. Right, Larry, we talked about food prices being up, 40% since 2019under this administration. So when you talk about all the things that matter to people as far as just their everyday lives, they're working two jobs or they're paying extraordinary amounts, and I could personally attest to this, in healthcare costs and on a monthly basis, or maybe, you know, mortgage rates are above 7% now, or credit card debt's above $1 trillion in this country, and people are just chasing interest at this point. They're paying the minimum payments and just trying to get by. Violent crime in American cities and towns, they don't feel safe like they used to. And then they see the border and they say that's a much bigger problem than alleged hush money payments made by Donald Trump 8 years ago. And then this district attorney in New York, which has become a hellhole under his guidance, he's saying that this is election interference. Yeah. So that's the thing. You see these lawsuits, and not just Alvin Bragg, but Fannie Willis down in Georgia and Jack Smith as far as what he's attempting to do and trying to do these fast food trials because it's got to be done before the election. Yeah. People don't care. They want serious people in office to solve our serious problems. They don't have any faith in Joe Biden based on his performance. And instead, they see what this really is, the weaponization of the justice system to take out Donald Trump, period.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I think this lawfare campaign, which is coming from the White House, is backfiring. I really think it's backfiring. Chris Bedford, you there? Is that you making all that noise?
All right. That's me.
All right. One of the points Joe Concha made about interest rates, with the higher than expected hotter inflation numbers, the 30-year mortgage rate has now gone back to 7.5%. You want to buy a used car, you're going to pay about 12%. Your credit card overflowing, you've been somewhere between 25% and 30%. Now, these are very big numbers, and these personal borrowing costs, which used to be part of the CPI, but they took it out a few years ago. Nonetheless, middle-income people feel this a lot, and I think that's one reason, to Joe's point, that these lawsuits, these court appearances, nobody really understands them anyway, is not having any impact on Trump. In fact, if anything, Trump's numbers have improved, Chris Bedford.
Yeah, when I watch these court hearings and keep track of them for a living, it's still kind of difficult to keep them all apart, whereas there are some things that have a real impact on your life every single day. So if you're someone who's wealthy right now, very wealthy, and the dollar is strong and you're feeling good, you might go out there and say, hey, the economy's fine, what's the problem? But if you're someone who's in the rapidly shrinking middle class that's so important to our system, then you're feeling that credit card debt. You're feeling that you need two cars in your house. Maybe you've picked up some credit card debt over the years to be able to pay for different things. You're feeling that. It's sticking you there. And if you're someone who's not in the middle class, who's in the working class, and that credit card debt becomes something that you can't even foresee getting out of. Some friends of mine who are EMTs, who are firefighters, police officers, teachers, they're looking at that saying, I don't even know how I'm ever going to pay it off. And then you have to put so much of your future on hold. The thing is locking a lot of Americans into a circle of debt and really just sticking people.
You know, the numbers show, this is part of the story. The numbers show how much better off typical families were. What's that mean? Typical family in the U.S., right in the middle of the spectrum, earns about $65,000 a year, okay? Now, if you had husband and wife, as you said, firefighter and teacher, they'll be at $125,000, $130,000. But I'm just saying, one way or the other. Anyway, their wages went up significantly during the Trump years. Went up about $6,000 on average. In fact, one year alone, they went up over $5,000. That was 2019. Under Biden, their wages have fallen. Their income has fallen. And on a percentage basis, they made about 8% gain under Trump, and they've lost about 2.5% to 3% under Biden. Okay, so just call that an 11% turnaround against Biden. That's why his confidence, his economic confidence numbers, Joe, are so low. I mean, people, you know, this thing I've been talking about the last couple nights on the TV show, and I mentioned it this morning in my opening riff. People are not dumb. They're smart. They know they're losing money and losing ground. As Chris said, that, you know, now they have perhaps incurable credit card problems or lending problems. They know. It's the heart of free market capitalism. People know what's in their interest, and they also know what's in the country's interest.
Yeah, they could read. They could read an app, right? They could read their banking app on their phone, and they see exactly what's in their savings account, and they see, wow, I'm really dipping more into my savings than ever before. I'm not putting money ahead for retirement because I'm just trying to survive day to day. So when Joe Biden and his team go out there and they insist that the economy is strong, and then many of us stupid people in the media still also push that line, when you're going to tell me 1.6% GDP growth is good? Of course it's not. And Bill Clinton at least got it as far as connecting with people as a Democratic president, where he said, I feel your pain, right? And if Joe Biden says, I feel your pain, we should do better. Give me another 4 years and I will do X, Y, Z. Instead, it's like, nope, you're too stupid to understand that the economy is actually good and you just don't get it. And that, and that's the message that really is hammering home. And Donald Trump is pushing that every day, as far as who do you trust more to bring back this economy to where it was in 2019, the guy who was president in 2019 or the guy that's currently in the Oval Office, who's 81 years old and is like cottage cheese as far as aging. He's not a fine wine. He's not going to get better. And in the end, it's the economy, stupid. It's the economy. And then I would say also it's a 50-50 split with the economy, inflation, and obviously the border. Those three issues are going to decide this next election. And if the election were held today, Donald Trump would be your next president.
You know, yeah, I think that's right, by the way. You know, Chris, whenever you hear a president or a leading politician say, the reason my numbers are down is we're not communicating properly, it's just such malarkey. The reason your numbers are down is you're not performing properly. Your policies are not working. And you can spew forth the cleverest speech writing, but folks know they're either gaining or losing in their paychecks, and they've been losing. I was just talking to Breitbart's John Carney, who's so smart. Income after inflation and after taxes, what's called real disposable income, for the first 3 months of this election year is basically flat, up 0.3 tenths. Now, you need years ago, a very good presidential model by Ray Fair of Yale University. That number's got to be like 2.5, 2.7 to win. It's flat going into this election season. So, I don't know. I think it's a complete loser. I want to take a break. Here's the time to take a break. I'm going to ask Christian. We're going to come back. Joe Biden claims he wants a debate. So I'd like to debate whether Joe Biden wants a debate. And Donald Trump shows up just a few blocks from my home and a few blocks from the Fox headquarters and talks to the construction workers. And they say the unions are voting for him 3-1. Very interesting point. Trump only down 10 points in New York. He lost it by 23 in 2020. He's only down by 10, and he's gaining. Wouldn't that be a hoot? I'm Kudlow. We're talking to Chris Bedford. We're talking to Joe Concha. Much more to come, folks. Stick around.
This is the Larry Kudlow Show.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Now, back to the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. We're talking politics with Fox News contributor Joe Concha and senior writer for The Blaze, Chris Bedford. Gentlemen, welcome back. So, Joe Biden told Howard Stern, a great authority, that he will debate. Promptly, Mr. Trump said he'll debate him anytime, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Michigan, inside a courthouse, any place. So will Biden debate? What do you think?
No shot. And I say no shot right now. In other words, if Trump said, all right, let's do it next week, we'll do it on national television, meet me here, Joe Biden will figure out a way, or his handlers will anyway, for him not to get in the ring with Donald Trump, because they don't have teleprompters in debates and scripted remarks aren't provided. So he would actually have to, unlike 2020, defend a record on all the things we just talked about in terms of inflation, crime, immigration, the border, foreign policy, education, you name it. And Donald Trump would wipe the floor with Joe Biden, because now we're talking about the 81-year-old version of this man at this point. But yeah, that interview was just really incredible. The fact that he said that back in the 70s, when he was first elected to the Senate, that women were sending salacious pictures to him, because apparently sexting can be, you know, that can be done through a landline, because there were no cell phones.
How do you sext through a landline?
Well, sexting, you know, like, in other words, you send like the naughty photos. There were no cell phones then, so that's out. And then he said that he would give the photos that he apparently received to the Secret Service, even though senators don't get Secret Service protection. So the things he said during this interview, and the fact there's no fact checkers out there even picking up the phone on this one, where he said he saved six people when he was a lifeguard at a community pool, because, yeah, drownings happen there all the time, right? I listened to this, and I'm just like, this is insane that this person's the president of the United States. He shouldn't even be a golf starter at this point, Larry.
I'm impressed that you listened to it. I bet you Joe Biden's jealous that Donald Trump is, you know, may have had an affair with Stormy Daniels or Susan McDougal. He's probably just jealous. By the way, that's not against the law. Okay, we can all decide whether we like it or not, and we do propose. I mean, I've been married 36 years, coming on 37, so I believe in marital fidelity. But that's really not the issue here. I think Joe Biden. I don't know. I think he's jealous of Trump. Now, Chris Bedford, having said that, tongue in cheek, if the president heard it, I'm probably in hot water. But nonetheless, I will say this. I think Biden will try to debate only a little, not a lot. So I expect one or two, not three, four, or five. But
I think that's right.
But I don't even think that. But hang on. My other point is, I wouldn't totally underestimate Biden as a debater. Now, Joe's point that it's 4 years later is a good point. Okay, that's Biden. Even 4 years is worse off. But. He can get up for a debate. whatever they may inject into him, like the State of the Union message. And in the 2020 debates, now Trump had COVID for the first debate, but Biden did well. The second debate, Trump won, but Biden's an underestimated debater. That's all I want to say. I've seen him in action several election cycles, even the vice presidential debates years ago. Anyway, go ahead, Chris.
I think you're right. He always has been a somewhat underestimated debater. I mean, I remember how excited Republicans were when Paul Ryan went against him in the vice presidential debates.
Right.
Because Paul Ryan was supposed to be the wonder kid, and he was a young guy. And Biden's folksiness and friendliness mm-hmm. makes us really sharp barbs, mm-hmm. really sharp. He could be a vicious politician combined to really win the day. And he did surprisingly well against Donald Trump. Of course, the president at the time had COVID in the first, as you mentioned. But this does seem to me like another one of those many, many things that Joe Biden says in an interview or says at a quick press briefing. The White House ends up walking back later. This one will be awkward because he can't just go out there and have Kareem to say, oh, no, he's not debating. But they'll probably try to avoid it, probably try to drop it. He did well during the State of the Union. It was a dark State of the Union. It was a threatening State of the Union. It was the most politicized one that I've ever seen or ever heard of. But he was able to spar with Republicans to go mm-hmm. back and forth. Mm-hmm. His best moment, I think, was going back and forth with Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene mm-hmm. when he was talking about the illegal immigrants. And he ended up having to walk that back because his White House always tries to step on it. But to go for an hour and a half or 2 hours one-on-one, I think, is something that this White House is going to want to try and avoid. And since they've already decided that Donald Trump's an insurrectionist, a criminal, an enemy of democracy, they've already made him outside of the normal system. They've got the perfect excuse to try and be self-righteous to their voters about why they wouldn't even deign.
They'll do one late. You know what? They'll do it well after the early voting starts. That's my guess. They want to get the early voting, which I think starts in early September. I could be wrong about that. So I don't see them debating until mid to late October. That's the way I look at it. Joe Concha, one other thing. Trump and the construction workers, 48th and Park, I pass it every day on the way to work, gets a big reception, just like he did with the bodegas up in Harlem. Is that as good and important as it looks like? Because Joe Biden couldn't draw a crowd if he wanted to.
That's the thing. Donald Trump got 12% of the vote in Manhattan in 2020, right? And you hear about all these people that he's such a threat to democracy and he's insurrectionist. And then every time he's been in public, the last three times, one was at a Chick-fil-A in Atlanta, which was comprised primarily of black women working there. Yeah. And they all were smiling and taking pictures with him. And no one seemed to be upset that he was there. They seemed to embrace it. And then, as you said, in Harlem, he got the reception that he did. And they were paid people there that were cheering him. And then with the construction workers, that's why Madison Square Garden is going to be the biggest event, perhaps, of this campaign.
I want him to fill Yankee Stadium. I'm going for Yankee Stadium. He could have 50, 60,000 people. Joe Concha, Fox News. Chris Bedford, The Blaze, thanks to both of you. Folks, I'm Kudlow. Other side of the break, we're going to talk about these. I don't understand the charges in the Alvin Bragg case. Maybe Greg Jarrett, Fox News legal analyst, can help me. We'll be right back.